Lord, take these words and speak to us through them now, I ask in Jesus' name.
Amen.
There was a Navy ship who saw a deserted island with some smoke coming from it. And so they decided to send a boat out to check it out. And when they got to the island, they found that there was a man standing on the beach, waving his hands, trying to get their attention. And when they arrived, when they got up on the beach, they saw three huts that were on the just off the beach there. And so the man said, "Oh, thank you so much for rescuing me. I've been here for so long, for so many years. I've been all alone on this island for 5 years." And the person rescuing him asked, "Well, I noticed that you have three huts here. Why are there three huts if you're the only person on the island?" And he said, "Well, one of the huts is where I live. The other one is where I go to church. And the third one is where I used to go to church." So many reasons people have for leaving the church. So many reasons people have for getting upset at the church. And there's so many things that we can find little nitpicky things about when it comes to church. And Paul was addressing many of those things in our second lesson today. So what I'd like you to do, if you would, is take out your Bibles and turn to our second lesson from Philippians. That's Philippians chapter 2. And it's on page 1824 of the Pew Bibles. Because Paul really gives us some insights here into what a healthy church should look like. He was dealing with many problems that churches today have to deal with as well. And so when Paul addresses them, he lists some things that he believes are so important for a church to work as it's designed and to be a healthy church. And so he begins by saying in chapter 2, verse 1, "Therefore, if you have any encouragement for being united with Christ." One of the things that a healthy church does is that it encourages each other. The people of the church encourage one another. A sign of an unhealthy church is when people are always gossiping, backbiting, and criticizing, and trying to find fault with other people. And so a healthy church really is one who is seeking to find ways to encourage each other and to build each other up. In fact, Paul says that in 1 Thessalonians. Encourage one another and build each other up, just as you are doing. And so as he says, if there's any encouragement from being united with Christ, any comfort from his love, another characteristic of a healthy church is that it really is a loving church. A church that really is seeking to love one another. And certainly, you know, this church is much like that. There's a lot of love in this church. And so that's a good sign for churches to have love as one of their key elements. And he says, if there's any comfort from his love, in his love. We are called to comfort one another when we go through times of grief, times of difficulty, to comfort one another and to come alongside of one another and to try to be there for each other when we're going through difficult times. It's easy for us as Christians to kind of isolate ourselves when we're going through troubled times. And so part of a church body is that we are to be there to help, to strengthen and encourage one another, to provide comfort to one another when we're going through difficult times. So often when we come across people in the church that are going through struggles, we try to give them answers. We try to tell them what to do instead of just listening and trying to comfort them and to let them know that we understand and we're trying to understand their pain, the struggles that they're going through. So he says, if there's any common sharing in the Spirit, if there's any tenderness and compassion. Tenderness is a quality that so often is lacking in our lives as we relate to one another. Tenderness is certainly something that we don't talk much about in the church. And yet it's important to try to be as tender and compassionate with one another as we can. Then he says, "Make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one spirit and one mind." So one of the things that the Bible talks about is that God loves it when people are unified, when people are working together for a common purpose, when we're working together for the same goal, and that is to spread the kingdom of God and grow the church and do the things that God wants us to do as part of his body. Then he says in verse 3, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit." One of the things that can cause problems in churches so often is persons who want to have their own way, to do their own thing. And that doesn't apply just to lay people. It can apply to the clergy as well. And then when we want our own way, we'll do anything. We'll step over anybody and make anybody, just tear down anybody in order to get our way. And that's not what the church is all about. The church really is about putting our own desires, our needs aside for the benefit of others, and seeking to not have that selfish ambition about which Paul is speaking. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but to each of you, to the interests of the others. So, we are by nature are selfish people. We by nature tend to just want to focus on ourselves. But the church is all about focusing on each other and seeing what we can do to benefit and help each other. Put the needs of the others above ourselves. And that's against our nature. We don't have the nature to do that. But when the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us, then we begin to realize that our job is here to try to build up others and to encourage them and to show compassion to them and to do what we can to try to strengthen them in their Christian life. When we have a baptism or when we have a confirmation like we're going to be having this later on this morning, one of the questions that we ask, that the congregation has asked, is, will you support these persons in their life in Christ? And the congregation says, because it's written in the prayer book, we will. When we say that, do we really mean it? Do we really mean we're going to support these persons in their life in Christ? We do that by putting the needs of others ahead of ourselves. And the reason why we do that is because of the nature of Christ, which he goes on to describe here. He says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. He says, who is in very nature God. So Paul is beginning to describe the nature of Jesus Christ. Jesus existed from all eternity as the Word of God. John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he goes on to say, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so Jesus has existed from all eternity as the Word of God. When he came to this earth, he became known as Jesus Christ. And so Jesus has existed for all eternity because he was equal to God. He has the same nature as God. He was in the very form of God, as Paul says elsewhere in one of his writings. And so when we talk about Jesus, we're talking about God. And here was God who had lived with all eternity with the Father, now humbling himself and becoming a human being. He put aside all the rights and privileges that went along with being God and became a man. And he related to God on this earth as he wants us to relate to God. He related to God as his Father. And so he humbled himself before God. He took upon himself the form of a servant, being made in the fashion of human likeness. And so he began to relate to the Father as we are to relate to him. He humbled himself before the Father. He said, the Father is greater than I am, because he was speaking from that point as a human being. So he humbled himself before the Father, and he began to say, I do only those things that the Father tells me to do. And so Jesus set the example for us by humbling himself before God. We also are to humble ourselves before God. And he took upon himself the nature of a servant, it says. A servant was someone who was really looked upon as a low-class person of the society of those days. And yet Jesus took that role upon him. We see that demonstrated most clearly when he washed his disciples' feet at the Last Supper. And so as Jesus demonstrated the importance of being a servant, of serving one another, Paul says that we are to have that same mindset in us that was in Christ Jesus. He goes on to say, therefore God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So even though Jesus humbled himself, one day he was going to be exalted back to the rightful place from which he had come, back to heaven. And he promises his followers that as we humble ourselves, as we become servants of one another, that one day we will be exalted to that place that he has prepared for us in heaven. And so he goes on to say at the end of the lesson here, therefore, dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but how much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Sometimes we read that verse and we think that salvation involves our works. But we read in Ephesians chapter 2, he says, it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, so that no one will boast. But Paul goes on to add, for God has created works for us to do. And so the works that we do are evidence of the salvation that we have. And so we're to work out our salvation by doing the good works that God has prepared for us to do. And as we do those good works, that gives evidence of the transformation that we have by putting our faith in Jesus Christ. And so the works that God calls us to do, He has prepared in advance for us to do. Our job is to try to find out what those works are, what those good works are that we can use to benefit those in the church, that we can benefit those outside of the church, that we can help spread the gospel to others, that we can help meet needs out in the world. All of those things are ways that we can work out our salvation. But ultimately, salvation comes through our faith in Jesus Christ. And so as we are seeking to live out that salvation, we are seeking to give evidence of the true transformation that has happened on the inside in our hearts. And that is evidenced by the love that we show to others. It is evidenced by the compassion that we show to others. It's evidenced by the encouragement that we show to others. It's evident by the unity that we practice with one another in the church. It's evidenced by the way that we live our lives for Jesus Christ. Paul says, let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus, who was in the very form of God, yet he humbled himself and became a servant. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you have been willing to send your Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth, and that he was willing to live as an example for us in this world, and how we can live our lives in serving you and serving one another. Lord, give us that humility, that desire to put others above ourselves, that will cause the church not only to grow, but also to be an evidence to the world around us of your love and of the grace that you've given to us. We pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we might be able to live the sort of Christian life that reflects all of these aspects of the healthy church about which Paul speaks this morning. I ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.